In recent times, this had been quite difficult, and her grandfather, for example, had to lead an expedition all the way to Hawanderland in order to find some sworn enemies, although there was an adequate supply and a lot of swearing by the time he left. Earlier, of course, it had been a lot easier. Ramkin regiments had fought the city's enemies all over the Stowe Plains, and had inflicted heroic casualties, quite often on people in the opposing armies. It is a long-cherished tradition among a certain type of military thinker that huge casualties are the main thing. If they're on the other side, then this is a valuable bonus. There were a few women among the sitters, none of them holding anything heavier than a glove or a small pet dragon. Their job had largely been to roll bandages and await the return of their husbands with, she liked to think, resolution and fortitude and a general hope that said husbands would return with as many of their bits as possible. The point was, though, that they never thought about it. There was a war, and off they went. If there wasn't a war, they looked for one. They didn't even use words like duty. It was all built in, at bone level. She sighed. It was all so difficult these days, and Lady Sybil came from a class that was not used to difficulty, or at least the kind that couldn't be sorted out by shouting at a servant. 500 years ago, one of her ancestors had cut off a Clachian's head in battle, and had brought it home on a pole. And no one thought any the worse of him, given what the Clachians would have cut off if they'd caught him. That seemed straightforward. You fought them, they fought you. Everyone knew the rules, and if you got your head cut off, you jolly well didn't blub about it afterwards. Certainly things were better now, but they were just more difficult. And of course some of those antique husbands were away for months or years at a time, and for them wives and families were pretty much like the library and stable yard and the Johnson exploding pagoda. You got them sorted out and then didn't think much about it. At least Sam was home every day. Well, most days. Every night, anyway. Well, part of most nights, certainly. At least they ate meals together. Well, most meals. Well, at least they made a start on most meals. Well, at least she knew he was never very far away, just somewhere where he was trying to do too much and run too fast and people were trying to kill him. All in all, she considered she was jolly lucky. Vimes stared at Carrot, who was standing in front of his desk. "So, what does all that add up to?" he said. "The man we know didn't get the prince is dead. The man who probably did is dead. Someone tried very clumsily to make it look as if Ossie was paid by the Clachians. Okay, I can see why someone might want to do that. That's what Fred calls politics. They get Snowy to do the real business, and he helps poor dumb Ossie, who's there to take the fall, and then the watch proves that Ossie was in the pay of the Clachians, and that's another reason for fighting. And Snowy just slopes off, only someone cured his dandruff for him." "After he'd written something, sir," said Carrot. "Ah, yes." Vimes looked at the notepad retrieved from Snowy's room. It was a crude affair, the wads of mismatched bits of scrap that the engravers sold off cheaply. He sniffed at it. "Soap on the edges," he said. "His new shampoo," said Carrot. "First time he'd used it." "How do you know?" "We looked at all the bottles on the heap, sir." "Hmm. Looks like fresh blood here at the spine where they're stitched together." "His, sir," said Angua. Vimes nodded. You never argued with Angua about blood. "But none of the actual pages have blood on them," said Vimes, "which is a bit odd. Messy business, decapitation. People tend to spray. So the top page has been taken away, sir," said Carrot, grinning and nodding. "But that's not the funny part, sir. See if you can guess, sir." Vimes glared at him and then moved the lamp closer. "Very faint impression of writing on the top page," he muttered. "Can't make it out."
"We can't either, sir. We know he wrote in pencil, sir. There was one on the table."
"Very faint traces," said Vimes. "Blokes like Snowy write as though they're chipping stone." He flicked the notebook. "Someone tore out not just the page he'd written on, but several below it as well." "Clever, eh, sir? Everyone knows..."
"You can read the suspicious note by looking at the marks on the page below," said Vimes.
He tossed the book on the table again.
"Hmm. There's a message there, yes."
"Perhaps he was blackmailing whoever's behind all this," said Angua.